And Riley, I think the real decisive moment for us on this show, the real turnaround for me, anyways, I think the turnaround for both of us, when the show became what it was supposed to become was 2 days after Reagan died. Reagan died on a Saturday,
yeah.
And we got the directive on Monday that the network was going soft. The network was like, we got to be respectful. We got to treat this guy like a president. And I was like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that worked.
Who the hell liked it? Why? We're going to treat Reagan with respect? That's ridiculous. And we actually, there was that moment, we had that discussion when Larson was here, was like, well, if you guys are going to make this decision, we're going against network policy. I'm like, well, this is what this show is supposed to be, so let's do it. Let's speak our mind and let's take this guy to task. Who cares if he's dead? So here's some clips from that day.
And now, another great moment in morning sedition history.
Good morning. It's Dead Reagan Monday here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. He armed the Iranians in exchange for the hostages in order to solidify his, you know, his presidency, his election, which was dirty, low-down, covert op BS, right? And also set the world on course for some of the stuff we're paying for now. He then armed the Iraqis to fight the Iranians, who he secretly armed. He sent Donald Rumsfeld there in 1983 to smooth over everything and say, like, you know, how you doing, buddy? We're here.
My man,
right? Yeah. And that sort of led to, you know, a lot of this situation. And, of course, Saddam became our enemy, no longer our business partner. And over a period of time, you know, many of the missiles and many of the arms that are being fired at Americans right now are from that original, you know, Reagan stash.
Well, you know, we ought to, as we hit on these various and sundry things, the emailer hit on something that is crucially, crucially important. Ronald Reagan, at a time when he could have done so much more to fight what was becoming an epidemic of acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, he did little or nothing. And there are those who will argue that many, many people died because of the inactivity of the federal government during the time when AIDS became, I guess, made the transition from a disease to a pandemic.
Well, that, you know, this became, you know, sort of, we have to talk about Rumsfeld a little bit, but this became the pandemic that it is. But, you know, this was a policy that Reagan, you know, really was the first guy to really make it okay politically to blame the victim.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, it was the moral transgressions of the people with AIDS that gave them AIDS. It was the poor's fault that they were poor. You know, it was on and on with this. So, you know, and this is a guy that, you know, even though people think he was such a great president. I mean, his average approval rating over the course of his presidency was 52%. That's worse than Clinton. It's worse than the first Bush. It's worse than Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower.
Eisenhower?
Yeah. Mike in Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Two things. First, I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for providing some balance to the deification of Ronald Reagan. I think the statistics that you went over were accurate and sobering. And basically, that's the way I remember the Reagan years. And the second thing is, I think that there was somebody else besides Mark Riley who didn't realize that Reagan had a black Secretary of Housing. Reagan didn't realize it. There's a famous incident where they were at a housing, a conference of city mayors, and Reagan referred to Sam Pierce as mayor. How is your city going, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, you're right.
They are not giving any alternative viewpoints except for this fluff.
Yeah.
About Reagan. Yeah, I know the guy's still warm.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get that. But still, there should be some criticism.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, forgive me for even, you know, being insensitive on that part, but, you know, I just find it despicable. You know, and he was a bigot. I mean, I heard you mention that earlier on about his position with the ANC some years ago. It was
definitely a bigot.
This has been another great moment in morning sedition history.
All right, 12 past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. You know, that was the first day, Mark, that we did the show by ourselves.
That was the first
time. It was one of those weird windows of opportunity. Now, I don't want to begrudge Sue Ellicott anything. The bottom line is, many of you have been listening since day one, know that the three of us was not a match made in heaven. The chemistry was not quite right. And that day, I saw the window, and me and Riley just locked down and did the business. And we had that moment where we're like, well, this is really what the show is. This is what it feels like it should be. This is where it needs to go. And as time moved on, other people believed that as well. So, look, if you think about it, it seems to me that's what the whole network should have been about, really, was that day.
day. I know that I remember Franken handled it very diplomatically and even unfiltered at that time, you know, sort of went by policy, network policy to treat it with kid gloves. And it was just like, forget about it.